So the allegation is that Oxford Community Schools didn't follow its own threat assessment policies to prevent the deadly shooting on November 30th that claimed the lives of four high school students at Oxford. The district failed to implement the training of the district and activate a threat assessment team to address Ethan Crumbly, who had certainly shown warning signs that something was very wrong with this young man. And yesterday, former Oxford board president Tom Donnelly, former treasurer Corey Bailey came out, and look, they turned whistleblower here because they say that the district isn't doing enough, the investigation isn't happening soon enough, and it's leaving everybody in limbo. And Tom Donnelly joins us this morning, as does Bill Sykley, the attorney representing both Donnelly and Bailey. Tom, it's nice to have you with us. And I admire you coming out because the allegations that you're making certainly back up, I think, a lot of the feelings and a lot of the vibe that we're getting in the media and in the community. Why was now the time to come forward for both you and Corey?
Now was the time to come forward because I knew that we were going to face depositions. I knew that I was going to have to speak the truth in those depositions. I knew that I wanted the families to hear me first. I knew that I wanted the community to hear me first so that they did not hear it backhandedly. And so I would say that's my rationale for coming out when we did.
You know, Tom, this is a situation where I think both near in Oxford and afar, a lot of people wondered aloud, why didn't we get that investigation? Why were the offers to investigate rebuffed? And I think almost like a puzzle, some of those pieces are starting to come together now.
Chris, some of those pieces are coming together, and I'll restate what I said yesterday. The issue is implementation. We go back to 2011 where guidelines were created. As far as I know, there is no evidence that other than training people externally, we ever implemented that threat assessment protocol, that we implemented and put together a team. Not with all the incidences that I recall in 6 years did I get an update on a threat assessment team protocol, who the threat assessment team is, how they acted and looked into a situation. So hence, that's the issue. And the concern for Corey and I is that I think a lot of schools or districts are in the same place we are. They've got the language and they may be going out and getting the dots filled for training, but it's not being implemented. And it needs to, across the country, be implemented. Secondly, the third-party review, they need to be mandatory. Before insurance companies and attorneys and others get involved, if a plane falls out of the sky, and I said this the other day, there's going to be an aviation company that's going to come in, and they're going to find out whether it was a part that was broken, whether it was human error, whether it was a bad part, whether Boeing didn't put the maintenance in on it, because everybody needs to know why. Why doesn't that same thing happen when in a public school setting that affects a whole community, someone gets killed or shot or stabbed or raped? We've got to begin to realize that you need independent investigations, people that don't have a bias to come in, study it, produce a report. Now we'll decide how we're going to react because you told us the facts.
Tom, do you feel apparently an investigation is ongoing now by somebody that the school hired? Do you feel that we're going to be able to get a complete report, a full report on what happened? Or do you feel as time has gone on, some of those details are a little more fuzzy and we're not going to get exactly what happened?
Chris, I have the same concerns. I was on the board when we hired Guidepost. I was hoping that we would have a portion of this done by the 30th before the anniversary, at least an investigation of this time frame. And now we're a year later, people are being deposed. But who are they being deposed by? Attorneys. Attorneys that have biases. And so that's my point. You can't start with a bias. You got to start with someone who doesn't care. They just know what they know their job is to get the answer. And once they have that answer, they report it out. And so I hope they get it done. I hope Guidepost has access to the people that they need to have access to. But I share concerns when they're still 50% of the way, and most of that 50% are key interviews that have to take place to get this thing done.
Chris, if I could jump in here for just a second.
Sure, Bill Sikley, sure.
One of the problems that I think that you point out indirectly, I'd like to go to it directly, is the fact that what's likely to come out in an investigation after attorneys have prepared witnesses, after attorneys have sat down and said, now be careful about what you say about this, you might not want to say that, is different than when the FAA comes in during an airline investigation and gets down on the ground and talks to witnesses before anybody gets attorneyed up. Look, I'm an attorney. I think that we play a very important role in this process. And I'm not trying to attack any of the attorneys involved here. I am trying to get Tom and Corey's story out, however.
Sure. Hey, I have one more question for you, Tom. I think and we have 30 seconds here. Like any Fortune 500 company, the board is beholden to its shareholders. And I think your community is your shareholders. Why did you go to the families before you had the presser yesterday?
Because the families are the ones most impacted by what we may have done or may not have done and needed to hear first.
And what was their reaction?
Emotional.
Tom, I appreciate you and Corey coming out. Keep us up to date on everything that you're embarking on. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Tom Donnelly, former president of the Oxford School Board, and Bill Sikley, the attorney representing the now two whistleblowers.